all animation is based on change, I think. So you're changing one thing into another, and that lasts about 5 minutes. And then you can't stand it anymore. However interesting it is, you just unplug after 5 minutes. And the other kind of animation is drawings or images, computer images, that walk and talk, which that will sustain for 100 minutes, 72 minutes if the kids have to have a pee, isn't it? That's the sort of rule. So obviously we're going to choose images that walk and talk.
Good evening, boys and ghouls, and welcome to Acme Podcast Incorporated Spooktober Spectacular! Happy spooks, everybody. I'm your host, Kaiju Rumper, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jank.
Oh, you don't need to introduce me, Master.
Yes, of course, Igor. I do not need to. No, you are Jenkinstein's monster.
Really not Jankor?
Jankor is good.
I don't know.
That's good.
Jenkinstein's monster works. It's kind of what I've been trying to go by on other things, but like, I don't know. It's funnier than the Igor voice.
Now, Jankor is pretty good, I'm not going
to
lie.
I was born to be somebody's little machinating hunchback slave guy. You know,
yeah. Sidekick henchmen... They're doing all the dirty work, you know? Like, they don't get enough respect.
Yeah. Hench for life!
Hench for life.
Oh, God.
Venture Brothers.
The job market's fucking crazy right now. I will do henching. Anybody listening, I will hench. This podcast is a side gig.
Yeah. I still need to watch the... Speaking of Venture Brothers, I still need to watch the movie, actually.
It's very good. It's very final, I guess? Is it? It puts a lid on things. But also, you know, if they ever have the money to do more in the interest, they could always do more. But it puts a nice lid on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have my problems with Venture Brothers, but overall, it's a good show. I can't in good conscience give too much shit to it when I'm a lot of the quotes from the show are like in my head daily.
It is one of the best written like Adult Swim shows by far, and that's not saying much because like everything else is kind of just jokes. That's the thing, is it moved past from just being jokes to like having fucking a story.
I'm constantly thinking about who wants pizza rolls? Fucking Dr. Orpheus. He's still my favorite character. Weren't they going to make a triad show at some point? Like a spinoff?
Yeah, but like, eh.
Yeah.
Okay, the triad's funny, but they're funny in the context of Venture Brothers. Having a show where it's just
exactly.
That, like... Because that's the thing is, they kind of probably do cool shit, but then they're probably also going to just not do cool... The show is not about cool shit. The cool shit just happens incidentally. It's about the lame shit.
Yeah, there are some characters that could carry their own spinoff. And you watch some shows, and you're like, oh, they should have their own spinoff. And then you think about it for a second, you go, nah, actually, they're fine as just side characters. You know,
because when you do see them, it's like, yay, that's my guy. That's my Glove Shitto.
It's like, they had that failed pilot for it. They were going to make that Haas Delgado show called Underfist. Whatever the fuck it was called.
Underfist, the Halloween bash. Hit of 2009.
Mm-hmm. I mean, speaking of that, I think the Halloween special of The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy is one of the best ones.
With
Jack.
With Wayne Knight.
Yeah, that's a great special.
Yeah, Grimm did fucking kill that guy.
He sure fucking killed that guy. Murdered him
because he made him look like a fucking ass. He made an ass of him, and now he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Your time's up, buddy.
Fuck you. Yeah. Yeah, again, happy spooks, everybody. What's been going on with you, Jenk?
Well, it's Halloween, so I've just been watching scary movies. I have been,
as you do,
yes, rewatching the Friday the 13th series. I actually watched the first two with my mom because she's not that much into horror.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, fine. It literally was just like, oh, it's playing on daytime TV. And I was over. I was like, hey, want to just watch this? Sure.
Yeah. I think those, like, first three Friday the 13th are, like, pretty good. And then after that, it's kind of like, some of them are good, some of them are bad, you know?
Oh, no. Oh, no. We were just riffing on the movie entirely because it was like, there was maybe one good scare that got her. And after that, it was just like, oh, well, that's kind of stupid. Oh, that's dumb. Why would you do that? And I was like, right? Like, we were just yeah, making fun of these people. Because that's, like, that's a, I like, one of the things with horror that I think is really cool is, like, the first initial, oh, I got scared reaction, and then everyone's collective follow-up, which is, oh, I could have taken him. This is what I would have done.
Especially in a slasher.
Oh, God. Slashers are great for that, because the better the film, the less you'll have that. But when it really falls apart or is just like, oh, this character has to die, then you go, oh, well, I just wouldn't have been by the fucking window. Oh, I, like, it's easy to say, yeah, I just wouldn't have gone to a camp. I would have stood at home on the weekend and not done premarital sex and smoked weed. Duh, idiot.
Duh.
But, like, the ones where it's just like, oh, yeah, that actually is kind of stupid. Like, what was it? In Friday Part 3, like, the big climactic part, I forget who the final girl is. Truly could not remember the name, I'm sorry. But, yeah. But, like, she is just, she leaves the house to try to find her boyfriend, realizes he's dead, runs back into the house, then, like, goes all over the place, runs to the fireplace, runs out of the house again to try to find him, finds Jason, runs back in, goes to the top where she can't leave, throws a bookshelf, Jason falls to the top, then goes back down and is now outside again, and I'm just like, what the fuck was the plan here? Yeah. There was, like, it's just, like, when you're scared, yeah, of course, it's, oh man, it's so exciting, and when you're not, it's like, wow, you just kind of wasted 20 minutes of, like, breath and energy. He's gonna kill your ass.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I think one of the ones that, like, still holds up and is still really scary, I think Halloween is still really scary.
Oh, no, fucking hell. Halloween, the first Halloween is the reason we have a Friday the 13th. This is a fact.
Yeah. It's the origin of the slasher genre. The sub-genre, you know.
You could debate. Yeah, I'll say the American slasher, because, like, people in Italy would like to debate you on that. The Giallo fans would like to have a word with you about, yeah, who started it.
I mean, I can give the Germans, they gave us a lot of the modern horror that we know today.
Count Nosferatus, yeah.
Yeah, the cabinet of Dr. Caligari, you know. Like, I'll give them that for sure. But yeah.
Now we have the grabber.
The grabber.
He's gonna grab. He. I like. So what? I don't even know what fucking movie he's from, but it's like, I'm the grab. He's the grabber. He grabs kids. Oh. Is that what we're rolling with?
That what we're rolling with?
That, like, he's.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other fun horror movies? Or...
Well, besides that, I've just also been going through, like, on my own time, because I found, like, a 7-disc collection for, like, $8, like, a local place. The Saw series, going back to that.
Oh.
Those movies fucking rock, man.
They get progressively stupider as they go on, but they are.
The editing is fucking amazing. You know, like, James Wan, the original director, what he did before the Saw films was make MTV music videos and, like, little promos for MTV.
It shows.
So that's why those movies, that's why especially the first movie is just, like, light. It's like that. It has that, like, extreme editing vibe that, just like, kind of fucking edgy vibe to it. And me saying that reminded me that I did actually watch one other thing that wasn't really a horror movie, but it has, like, the vibes of, fuck, I should be watching this at eight years old. Have you ever heard of a film by the name of Galerians Rion?
I have heard of Galerians Rion.
It's based on the hit game series that nobody fucking played. Oh. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I recently watched a video about someone talking about Galerians.
No, my friend, I think, watched probably I think it's the same video, because my friend said, oh, I saw Galerians, I remember you mentioning it a while back, I want to watch this. I was like, some people was like, okay, sure. Because I've seen it, like, a billion times before, and it's... That is an MTV-ass fucking MTV movie.
Oh, yeah.
The story, sure. Nonsensical. The the voice acting, hokey as shit. The special effects makes Beast Wars look like fucking Avatar. But goddamn if it's not the most fun to, like, watch. Just to see it happen. And vibe-wise, too.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It is a, I should not be watching this, my parents are gonna kick my ass, but I need to see where this goes. Just weird visuals, characters that are all drug users in some way or shape or form, because of the story demanded, like, super drug that gives you story powers, and drug fucking psionics. Galerians is fucking crazy. The game series is one thing, that movie is, like... just boggles the mind, and the fact that, like, when it was released on MTV, they gave it their own, like, MTV score with, like, Slipknot and Korn.
It's like when they put all the butt rock into the Dragon Ball movies. You know?
Yeah, no, that... truly a film that... The best way to experience it is gone now, because they don't... They, like, first of all, it's MTV in the modern day. What are they, like, what does MTV even do now? Do they even show music videos anymore there?
Do they even exist?
I think, well, no, yeah, they have the MTV Music Awards, but that's it. And I guess just, like, reality shows. I'm sure there probably is something. I have not watched the MTV or most TV in a while, hence why seeing Friday on the big small screen was meaningful.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, that's all I've done. My big advice for everybody: check your local listings. You'll be surprised on what's there.
You will be. Also, horror in particular. You talk about the 7-disc thing. Horror in particular. There are some films that only exist on VHS, and there's no other way to watch them when it comes to horror. Because of how obscure and weird they are. You know? If they ever got a DVD release, it was like... You were lucky.
Yeah, well, that's, you know? Well, that's Saw. Saw is... It is one of, like...
Yeah, that's Saw.
It is the highest grossing film fucking... Like, horror film franchise, I believe. Because the movies are, like... Dirt cheap to make.
Those movies do get worse and worse as they go on.
And they make more and more money until fucking Spiral. And what was it? And Jigsaw. Jigsaw and Spiral are the ones that everyone, like, fucking hates. Because they're bad and dumb.
I'll give it credit. There are some scenes from some of those Saw movies that every time I think about it, I go, ugh. You know? Like, it gets the reaction from me. I still think about that scene where the girl fell into the pit of the used needles. Every time. I'm just like, no matter how many times I see it, nope.
Oh, no way. Or, I've never killed anyone in my entire life. No. Jigsaw has never murdered anyone. He has never killed anyone in his entire life.
What was the... I saw 2 or 3. It wasn't the first one. It was like 2 or 3 with the weird fucked up bear trap thing on the girl's
head.
Bear trap
mouth was shown a little bit in 1, and it got reused in 2.
Yeah. That also makes me go, ew.
That's a classic, because it's like, I put a bear trap to your jaw, you have to get out, and the key I put in your eye, do you want to lose your eye or your mouth? A moral quandary, yeah. Truly.
you want to play a game? So that's it for you?
That's it. Just general Jigsaw vibes. I just love fucking slasher and schlocky horror films around the 7 months. They feel special.
Yeah. There was some stuff I did for Halloween so far, but I'll talk about them last. The couple things, one is a thing that I've talked about before on this podcast. I don't know if I talked about it with you specifically, but just I've been getting back into, I'm like, a bunch of the several hundred chapters of it got translated, so I'm like, well, time to go reread Kingdom again.
Kingdom is one of those big ones I hear about where it's like, I know it's going to be going for fucking forever.
Like 800 something chapters right now.
I have slightly idea. I know it takes place in China. That's about it.
Yeah. We're finally getting an official English release. Thank God.
Really?
Because, like, yeah, we haven't gotten one for the manga anyway. There's been, like, dubs of the anime, which. That's another reason that there's a couple reasons why the, despite being so good, it's not as popular as it should be. It's number one, some genius decided that the first season of the anime should be really shitty CGI. Number two, again, the no official English release for the manga. So you had to get Scanlations. And the other thing about Scanlations, specifically, I'm so happy we're getting an official English release because of a very specific problem that related to Kingdom, and that's the fact that, like, depending on which translation group you get, the characters will be referred to by their original Chinese name or the Japanese pronunciation of those Chinese characters.
Oh, no.
And they sound completely different. And then, so you'll be reading one chapter, and then in the next chapter will be a different Scanlation group, and the character will be referring to another character. And I go, who? Who are they talking about? And I have to look up which. Like, oh, that's the Chinese one. Chinese version of the name. And I'm like, okay. So then I have to keep all the Chinese and the Japanese versions of, like, dozens of characters in my name because this series is so goddamn complicated because it's a war epic. So you have to keep track of dozens of characters. But yeah, the gist of Kingdom is that, how I would describe it is that did you ever read Vinland Saga?
A bit of it. A good amount.
Yeah, it's Vinland Saga, but in China. It's, you know, big war story, right?
War story.
Like a historical war story.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes place, specifically takes place during the spring and autumn period of China, which is called the Warring States period. And that period in China is basically, it takes place during the tail end of that period, and it basically focuses on two characters. One is a nameless war orphan named Xin, who has a dream of becoming the greatest general under the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a chance encounter with the current emperor, Aesei, a.k.a. Shi Huangdi, the man who would unite China.
Oh! Oh!
Yes.
Okay.
So like, half of the story is the Shi Huangdi, Aesei political intrigue shit, and the other half of the story is Xin going around, like, in the war, the battle stuff, where he's trying to become a general. And the events of the story are based off of the, honestly, surprisingly extensive written record of that time period, considering how long ago it was. There's lots of stuff that's, like, left vague in the historical records, and some of it is, like, kind of glossed over. And so that's where the author kind of takes some liberties with stuff. Say, for example, a certain historical figure, their gender will never be mentioned, so that the author just takes the chance to make them a woman, despite the fact they probably weren't a woman.
Mm.
But their gender was never mentioned, so you can't dispute them being a woman or not.
What are you going to do, huh? It's not written.
What are you going to do about
it? It's called creative liberties, baby.
It is called creative liberties. And the thing that's interesting about Kingdom is, like, it's one, it's a really, if you like a war epic, if you, anybody who likes Romance of the Three Kingdoms should also read Kingdom, because Romance of the Three Kingdoms is, like, another, it's a China, another Chinese, it takes place later in Chinese history, and this is, like, before that, because, like, after Shi Huangdi united China, then there was the Han Dynasty, and then it was the Three Kingdoms period. So, this takes place, like, way before. But, yeah, that's how I would describe it. If anybody, if anyone has, like, any, like, love for, like, historical war epics, you should read Kingdom. There is some dumbass bullshit because it's a manga, you know. Like, characters performing superhuman feats. But, hey, that's manga, right?
Like I said, creative liberties and artistic interpretation.
Yeah, it's a good manga. I'd recommend checking it out. It is long, but it's worth the read. It's one of those manga where you get to like a specific new arc, which will usually either be about a political thing or a specific battle. And you will find yourself, especially when we get to a new big battle, and you will find yourself just, like, reading, and then before you know it, you finish the entire arc and read, like, 50 chapters without even thinking about it. You know? It's like one of those mangas. But, you know, then there's that. And then, I came across something very interesting. Jank.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Kengan?
Yeah.
Have you read Kengan?
Bits and pieces. I just am familiar with it.
Okay, yeah, it's like, people consider it like a successor to Baki, which I would agree, it is. Especially Kengan Ashura. So, you at least know, and you know there's a sequel series, Omega, right? Okay, good, you have the setup for this. So, I've read Omega. I've been reading Omega, and it's been fine. I didn't know until very recently how much a lot of people hate Omega. People love Kengan Ashura, hate Omega for lots of reasons, and honestly, most of them are pretty valid reasons to hate it, because it's been kind of eh. Like, some stuff is cool, but there's a lot of stuff in it that's, like, makes absolutely no sense, even by, like, the standards of the genre that it is. So, essentially, as far as I understand it, on the Kengan Reddit, there was, like, this sort of, like, outcry of, like, God, Omega's so bad, you know, people talking about, like, how bad it is. And then a user on Reddit by the name of Panaka decided One Punch Man style with like a goddamn pencil and some like white paper to draw a spiritual successor to Kengan called Convict Coliseum. There are 30, the premise of Convict Coliseum is very simple. 32 convicts, one tournament. The winner gets to go free. And that's it. That's all the setup you get. And then immediately you're like, bam, we're getting to the first round. No prelude or anything. That's all you need to know. Right? And apparently, I had heard like, oh, it's really good. And I was not convinced, because if you looked up Convict Coliseum, you can actually see the art. For it. The art actually gets a lot better
You say once that I'm like, okay, where we're starting is probably gonna be like whatever. Some shit's gonna go down.
Oh yeah, no, it starts off pretty like, you know, pretty standard. Where do I even begin? You know what? I'm going to tell you nothing except for that basic premise, and I'm going to tell you, like, by the way, the convicts, you never know their real names. They're only known by their epithets.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you the names of these, of
give
them.
Me some epithet, give me some epithets, yeah.
We have Pistol Foot Pete, the Pure One, the National Athlete, Firecracker, Spider Bite, the Samoan Hunter, the Scourge of British Columbia, Iron Turtle, Ice Cream Truck.
What the f-
The Scorching Tempest.
I don't want to deal with Ice Cream Truck. I feel like Ice Cream Truck is the most evil of them all.
I'm going to save the best one, the best two for last. Scorching Tempest, Never Ending, The Magic, Geared Up, Beat Down, Boogie Woogie, The Arm Thief, Sonic Boom.
Sorry, did you say Sonic or Stonic?
Sonic, okay. Like Supersonic. Okay. Sonic Boom. El Cucaracho. Danger.
What the fuck?
The Cuban Missile. Monkey See. The Kyokushin Hammer.
Okay, that seems like I can imagine that kind of guy.
Raw Dog. The Karmic Blade. The Abyss.
Oh my god, is this all of them or like?
No, I'm gonna say all of them, like no context, and then I'm gonna save the best four for last. The American Dream, Holy Scythe, Tomahawk, and here are my favorites. The God in a Box, Violence Incarnate.
Okay.
Literally Hitler, and Florida Man.
I'm sorry, like, those last two, literally, yeah. Hitler and Florida Man, how... You...
By the way, that's one of the first round fights is Florida Man versus literally Hitler.
This is a Reddit comment. This is a comic from a Reddit comment section. I truly have to see what the bar... Where does the bar go if that's your first fight?
You can read it here, by the way. Unironically, I was like, okay, I was in it for like the what's the word? The spectacle of it, but I'm like, before I knew it, I was halfway through and I was genuinely like, I had favorites and I wanted certain characters to win. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, I can't believe my goat blank lost. You know?
Someone really liked Kengan that much that they're like, fuck dude, I can do it better, watch.
And he did. I'm gonna be real. It's a really good tournament. Like, comic.
Yes, the amazing first fight between literally Hitler and Florida Man. Who do you even root for? I like one of them. Well, I guess I will say
the first round is like kind of nothing. It's mostly just to introduce the characters. But once the second round happens, it's like that's when shit gets real.
I guess the answer is like why would if the guy, fuck man.
I will explain some of them. Literally, Hitler's whole thing is that he's a guy who, no matter what he does, no matter how he tries to grow his facial hair, it will always be a Hitler mustache, and he can only style his hair a certain way, so he always looks like Hitler, no matter what happens. And people think he's Hitler and think he's emulating Hitler, and it makes him so angry that it powers his martial arts. That's it. And he keeps making mistakes and accidentally doing Hitler-like things, and people keep thinking he's
How do you mistakenly Hitler? Do Hitler? I'm sorry, like...
He, like, for example, when he fought Florida Man, he did like a side chop.
Oh my, no.
He did a side chop, like a cross slide chop.
But he fuck. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
No, don't even, say less. I don't, fuck, man. No, like.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's really good. And there are some guys who, like you don't need to know anything. And I can tell you their deal right now, and you will never be like, okay, what does that mean? Like, El Cucaracho, his whole deal, he can't die. That's it. You can't kill him. Period.
What do you mean you...
He cannot
what
die.
What do you mean you can't kill him?
Read it and find out. That's it. That's all you need to know about El Cucaracho. He cannot die. That is El Cucaracho. Unironically, like, it's actually kind of crazy to see the art. The art evolves, like, a lot, and it's actually kind of impressive. Like, these are just pencil drawings. It's like, I'll give it to the guy. There's dedication to, like, drawing this for so long, you know? Mm. Like, I'll give it to him. And then there's some cool stuff in here. I'm not even gonna front. Like, I'd recommend reading it. If you have any interest in, like, manga or anime, like it, like Baki or Kengan or, you know, stupid bullshit like that. It's great. But anyway, as far as spooky stuff is concerned, in the server, I think it was like a couple days ago, we watched anime masterpiece Perfect Blue. Yeah, Perfect Blue. We watched Perfect Blue, and there were people in the call who hadn't seen it. So, that's always fun, watching Perfect Blue with people who haven't seen Perfect Blue.
Oh, you fucking evil person. I have only seen it recently, maybe 2 weeks ago.
It's so good.
I completely forgot to fucking mention that, but I'm glad that I can now, because my only response is that Perfect Blue is a very evil movie. It is a evilly edited movie. It is an evil movie.
Intentionally.
No, it's a great movie. It is a fucking masterpiece. I think it is still an evil movie. Because when you are immersed into it, when Satoshi Kon does the thing and you are watching the movie, and then it fucking snaps its fingers,
Perfect Blue is a movie where you go, is anything real? Are you real? Am I real? What is perception? What is reality? My favorite was like, it was like two people who hadn't seen it in the call.
Oh, geez.
And getting to the scene at the end when she's in the apartment, and it's like, wait, why does the apartment look like it did at the beginning of the movie? And people slowly realizing, like, wait, this isn't her apartment.
Oh god.
It's so fucked. Perfect Blue is so good.
It's I can't talk about the scene that it's not even a favorite, it's the scene that's like you can't do that. There's like you can't do this in like anything else than like animation. Well, I mean like that's most of the movie. I don't think anyone else can do like the scene I'm thinking about, just at all, ever again, because of just, like,
yeah. And then American filmmakers tried to do it again with Black Swan.
A little bit of Black Swan, a little bit of this, some people saying that Requiem for a Dream ripped it off because of that scene with the screaming in the bathtub, but, you know, tomato, tomato.
Definitely, Inception ripped off Paprika, that's for damn sure.
Probably, most assuredly.
Like, Perfect Blue isn't my favorite Satoshi Kon jam, but I haven't seen anything of his that I didn't like. I don't think I can ever watch Paranoia Agent again, though, because that hurt me physically, mentally, emotionally. Paranoia Agent was so much. But no, it's really funny watching Perfect Blue with people who haven't seen it, because we started watching Perfect Blue and, like, you just watch the opening scene and people, like, two people coming in to call and going, oh, why are we watching this movie? And it's like, oh, because it's Halloween. And they're like, what do you mean?
They really
don't. What do you mean? They, like, what do you mean?
They really don't know. Like,
they really don't know. Not knowing that it's a psychological horror.
Because, like, that's, I know that, but Perfect Blue, before I even watched, I was like, yeah, there's gonna be some shit. I just didn't know, like, the means.
How much.
I didn't know in what way, and, like, the specifics. The specifics is what make it evil.
Yep. Perfect Blue is an amazing film. And to talk about Perfect Blue would be to spoil Perfect Blue. I don't know if you can talk about it, because you can't say half the shit that happened in the movie even happened with confidence.
Well, no, it didn't happen. It's not real. It's a movie.
You know what I fucking mean. Within the context of the story. But yeah, we watched Perfect Blue. We also, in the same server, we started playing No, I'm Not Human. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've heard about that game. I've seen plenty of.
Yeah. Like, I was wondering if you'd, like, knew the premise or, like, had seen it at all. Very good game. Very creepy. The thing that's fucked up about No, I'm Not Human is, like, when you allow people into your home and any one of them could be a visitor, and you're under the assumption that, like, oh, well, what about, like, if I play it again, I know who the visitors are. No, you don't. The character's always the same, but who's the visitor is never the same. Whoever the visitor is randomized. So you can never know for sure until you actually test them on if they're a visitor or not. It's fucked up. Fucked up and evil. Yeah, I did that. And then, I think that was one other thing. Did I write that down? Oh, yeah, me and my friend KP, we started doing the DLC for Lies of P. It seems appropriate.
That game is spooky. It's like, you know.
That game's good. That game's great. It is spooky. Very spooky. Like, the first level of the DLC is in a zoo, and all of the animals have turned into horrifying mutants. So, yeah, seems appropriate. I didn't expect a mandrill to come and try and rip my asshole off, but hey, here we are.
Happens.
It happens. You ever seen a mandrill? They'll do it. Baboons in general, really. But yeah, we're early on in it, so not too much to say. Although, for anybody who likes Souls games and who hasn't played Lies of P, you should play Lies of P. It is the best Souls game not made by FromSoft. If I were to put it in, like, a tier list with the other Soulsborne games that are made by FromSoft, it would be, like, near the top with, like, Elden Ring and Dark Souls 3 and Bloodborne. Great game. But, that's pretty much it for me. I can't think of much else. And please, let me know when you read Convict Coliseum, because I have to talk about it with somebody else. But yeah, if that's it for us, we're going to take 5, and when we get back, we are going to talk about today's spooky main topic.
Yes, we are, Master.
Helsing Ultimate! We'll be right back. And welcome back, everyone, to Acme Podcast Spooktober Spectacular.
We return from the grave once again, Master.
Yes, welcome. We're talking about Hellsing Ultimate. So Hellsing Ultimate slash Hellsing. Hellsing was originally a Japanese manga written and illustrated by Kota Hirano, serialized in Shonen Goetia's Seinen manga magazine Young King. Young King Hours ran from 1997 to 2008, and then its chapters were collected into 10 tankobon. And then it was also, the English release was done by, at least in the manga, by Dark Horse Comics. And as for Hellsing Ultimate, Hellsing Ultimate was basically an attempt, because there was obviously the original Hellsing anime that came out in 2002, 2003. And Ultimate, which is like basically an OVA series or a mini series, came out in 2006. And went from 2006 all the way to 12, because as we'll get into, the production of the OVA was kind of a hellscape, I'm not going to lie. But the OVA was announced back in 2005, and it's essentially the, for people who don't know and or, but who are anime enjoyers, consider Ultimate the brotherhood to Hellsing's original FMA, essentially.
Similar, like, production, well, similar just, like, issues of, like, yeah, we were they were making this as it was still being written, and just went for making their own story as opposed to, you know, because there was nothing to adapt after a certain point, whereas Ultimate is a more faithful adaptation with, you know, a bit better. Oh, I guess the comparison ends there, because Ultimate has a little has animation. Because
it does. The old one was, yeah.
It looked cool. It looked cool. It had striking background and striking color design, but those characters sure only moved their mouths and only had their mouths talking, which helps in this manga in particular.
But I mean, it was by Gonzo, so that's not shocking, the original one.
Oh.
It's not shocking why it looks so bad.
Hey, they could make good things occasionally.
Yeah. So the thing about Ultimate is it was animated by a lot of different studios.
Oh,
funnily
really?
Enough.
I thought it was just Madhouse. Was it not Madhouse?
No, the three episodes 5 through 7 were animated by Madhouse. Directed by Tanaka, and written by Kuroda,
mm-hmm.
and the release in 2008. The three last episodes, 8 through 10, were animated by Graphnica, and directed by Yasuhiro Matsumura and Kenichi Suzuka, and written by Kuroda. So this I will get into it. This OVA went through three different animation production studios and writers and screenwriters. I have the things here. That's the voice actor stuff. The production of the first OVA had like a really rocky start. It was like there were constant changes in the storyboards and the script, and it led to a bunch of redraws and delays, and a bunch of quality concerns. And the OVA was delayed numerous times back in the start of November of 2005, from September 2005, and then December 2005 was delayed again, and then finally they set a definitive release date in February. And the development of the first episode went production hell, which caused further delays and retakes. And in an attempt to fix the damage already done, Ryoji Nakamori came back to the studio to fix frames, like animation frames, on short notice. And even though they were over schedule on the release, to compensate the numerous delays, it was announced that a 30-minute preview of the OVA titled Hellsing Digest for Freaks we broadcast. It was essentially it was a early preview to apologize for all the delays. And due to the disastrous scheduling of the first episode, with a bunch of the rewrites that led to the quality being lower than expected, the production team promised not to postpone the release of the second episode any further. They tried to like keep a focus on the script and rewrites to a minimum with a clear release date. The same year the first episode went to animate the action sequences, and the animators described animating the fight scenes as, quote, appropriately, hellish. Drawing setup with a lot of processing work, staking out firearms and marks on mobs and designating groups, the biggest problem production at the return of layouts to the original artists is extremely slow to the complexity of the work. Like, there's, like, a bunch of other shit here, but basically, like, the it's that and that the fact that, like, the first three episodes were a different animation team, which was, I think it was an in-house thing or by contracted work. Then it was Madhouse. Then it was Graphicon. And for each of the changes in animation studio, there was a different director. So it's a surprise the thing isn't an absolute goddamn mess.
You know, like, I look through all of it and I'm sure there are noticeable differences with, like, I don't know.
They kept it pretty consistent.
I don't know. As somebody who's like used to fucking like Dragon Ball or Naruto, where it goes for a long time and animation like chiefs and directors change and designs sort of get changed around. How Ultimate was like. Truly, I only ever saw it when it was a done completed thing, but I can imagine as it's coming along, the way it's changing is probably done in a way where it's like, or the character designs are being updated or moved around is not that noticeable unless you really go from like, yeah, OVA 1 to OVA 9. Yeah, Alucard probably looks different. There's probably more focus on one thing or another. But otherwise, as long as they have the fucking the manga, they're probably doing all right. It's more just the delaying things.
I mean, I think about it like this. Imagine if you had to wait five, six years for a 24 episode anime to come out.
which is basically what
this is. This is basically a 24 episode anime in length.
Yeah, because like that last one, I think that
was an hour long.
That last one was an hour long. And it came out like 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
So fuck, they could. Yeah, no, they couldn't like fit it. They couldn't like dub it for like at least a bit. If at all. Oh, that, now I'm starting to see things, because, like, if you do have licenses for it, and it is out on services, or just out on DVD, well, congratulations, you only have those first six episodes, you gotta wait. Or not even, you can, if you have two ready, you can't just release them like that, because, oh, boy.
Yeah, and speaking of that, there's some, so, for this, many of the voice actors from the original anime returned. To prize their roles, each character, and notably Joji Nakata as Alucard, Fumiko Orikasa as Ceres, Yoshiko Sakabibara as Integra. However, Nachi Nozawa was replaced by Norio Wakamoto for Alexander in the Japanese. Which, you know, if you're going to be replaced by Norio Wakamoto, I don't think you can feel too bad about that. Right? As far as the same with the English cast, because Crispin Freeman came back to be Alucard, K.T. Gray was Ceres still, Integra was still Victoria Harwood, and then like Liam O'Brien came back as Walter. Most of the Japanese and English cast all came back. Pip is Yuri Lowenthal. Still,
huh?
Like, there's a lot of recognizable VAs in this.
Big heavy hitters.
Yeah, pretty much. We got Yuri Lowenthal. We got Laura Bailey, Taliesin Jaffe, Liam O'Brien. What's her name? She played Van Winkle. Where is that? Voice.
Carrie Walgren?
Yeah, Carrie Walgren played Van Winkle in the English. By the way, we watched the English.
But yeah. No disrespect to the sub, it's just like...
Yeah.
This is just one of those shows where the dub really, like, shines through, especially because having the accents.
The accents, and also, like, look, there are some characters that I cannot hear any other voice coming out of their mouth other than a very specific voice actor. And Alucard is one of them. I cannot hear anybody but Crispin Freeman.
Hit Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 character, Alucard.
God.
Right? I just remembered that. And I was like...
Topical.
And no, and he voices him. He's got wholly new lines and everything.
That's crazy.
What is the correlation? I don't know. Fuck it, man. Yeah. Guns are cool.
Yeah. And then Taliesin Jaffe, essentially, was the voice director on the first dub and the dub for Ultimate.
Oh, cool.
So they not only did they bring back all the actors, but they brought back the same voice director for the dub.
So yeah, if you're a fan of the original thing, this is basically like the enhanced product.
Yeah, like
somewhat.
Each individual character, like basically, they didn't get everybody back, but they got as many people back as they possibly could. You know, and Taliesin Jaffe talked about the OVA is not. Taliesin Jaffe said, quote, "It's not your classical vampire story, unlike the anime." And Donaldson Klein described working with the English dub cast as, "Let's get a rear of what we know from the original series and put it back in some ways. And I'm glad we're doing that, but in other ways." I'm wondering if this is a little late now, or if we're behind. You know, like, is this too late to come out, you know? And apparently some of the inspirations for the performances for the voice direction and the dub were inspired by a thing that I would definitely describe Helsing as is the Hammer Dracula horror films. Like, that's how I would describe Helsing. Helsing, to put it in the broadest strokes possible, I would call Helsing a schlocky horror film.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to watch a vampire kill Nazis.
It's a grindhouse film.
It is. It's a grindhouse film. It's a schlocky, like, it would not, like, if you told me that this was a anime called Vampires vs. Nazis and it came out in the 70s, I would not blink an eye. You know what I mean? Like, same shit, right? But,
featuring the Catholic Church.
What, you know, one of my notes is, what's almost as evil as Nazi vampires? The Catholic Church.
Oh, God, man. I look to my left and my right, and the Catholics are crusading, while the Nazis are invading.
Oh my god!
I love that's the best quote from the fucking Abridged, because it's that's just the show. It's a vampire that fights the evil Catholic Church and the eviler Nazis.
My favorite is in Abridged when he does that when I forget his name, the Archbishop calls in all of the different sects of the Catholic Church, and then just straight up a bunch of Ku Klux Klan members show up. I got myself some good old boys from the Order of the Hanging Noose.
God. Like, the worst part is, like, yeah, no, that's not too far removed from, like,
it's
the
not,
story, because it's schlocky horror. Kojo Arano is there's philosophical shit in there every now and then, and it's cool, but it's grindhouse horror.
Yeah, it's pure schlock horror, Hammer Dracula, you know. And again, sometimes you just want to watch some trash, right? Sometimes you do want to watch High School of the Dead, you know.
I put this above that though. Like, again, it does. It,
no, I. This is much better than High School of the Dead.
It does.
I just joke about High School of the Dead because Hirano is in High School of the Dead. If you look up Hirano, like Hirano in High School of the Dead, he is just in it. As a character, he's just in it.
Fuck, man.
Kota Hirano, High School of the Dead.
Does that mean Call of Duty? Call of Duty exists in the world of High School of the Dead?
Yep. It might.
Fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really, I didn't, I kind of like realized this subconsciously, but something I realized rewatching this was, you know, Japan really likes vampires, right? There are so many super iconic and prominent Japanese pieces of media that heavily feature vampires.
They like vampires, and they like doing vampires like different. A vampire is doing shit that, like, I don't know. They're just the strongest thing.
You got Helsing, Vampire Hunter D, Castlevania,
JoJo's
Blood, JoJo Blood Plus, Tsukihime. Don't talk about vampires that do different shit. Tsukihime.
Those fire. Those-
yeah.
I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it. They're not vampires. They're apostles. It's different.
Yeah, they're true ancestors.
There's a hierarchy of vampire bullshit. Because the vampires that are like in Helsing are on the lowest rung. The absolute highest tier. Fuck you, man. They're not even drinking your blood. They turn your direction. You're atoms.
Yeah. The other thing I had a realization of when I was watching this was, I'm just gonna quote my direct notes. If I had a nickel for every time there was an iconic aughts anime character with a red coat, I'd have 4 nickels. Which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened more than once. You've got Alucard, Dante, Vash the Stampede, and Edward Elric. Right? I'm not crazy?
Only 3 of those guys are known to have that, like, do gun stuff.
Only 3 of them.
See? It's not over. It's there's variety.
It's really funny because I was like, I looked at Alucard and I looked at Dante, and I just looked back and forth between them, and I was like,
they're different.
It's a guy in a red coat. Ebony and Ivory are the jackal and what's his other fucking gun? That there, one is a silver gun, one is a black gun, and one shoots heavier bullets than the other one, which is the same as Ebony and Ivory.
That's different. It's different.
They are both canonically the strongest motherfuckers in their own universes. Like, they are the same. They are, like, Alucard is a vampire who hunts vampires. Dante is a demon who hunts demons.
No, you need...
It's the same!
See, I was gonna say, like, you need a Virgil. I'm like, I'm really trying not to laugh as I say that.
Alexander Anderson!
The guy whose whole thing is using bayonets and wears blue.
And wears blue and silver, and he throws swords, like summon swords.
Virgil's not...
I mean, look, it's not like, Devil May Cry isn't, like, we've already joked about the Inuyasha thing, but also, like, summon swords is just unlimited blade works.
Virgil is an Irish, so that's different. It's different.
By the way, that's another thing about the dub, is like, I have to hear Anderson say Bible verses in an Irish accent. Like, I have to. Like, it's just required. Well, oh yeah, I was saying Anderson. Like, Anderson is, he is just the Virgil to Alucard.
Yeah, okay, well, if we do this, we're gonna go into who's the Dante, who's the Virgil, because there's always been a Dante and a Virgil since fucking... The Bible.
The more... Trigun is even more direct, because, like, Vax literally has a twin goddamn brother. You know, it's even more direct with fucking Trigun.
Name Knives. Who uses knives?
He uses knives, you see. He
uses feathers and shit. It's, ah, da-da, ooh.
It also reminds me of, like, old-ass early internet forums, and... Y'all, like, you motherfuckers nowadays talking about your Gojos versus your fucking Boroses. Meanwhile, I was there many years ago, eons ago, when people were talking about Alucard versus Dante. I was there. You know? Which, by the way, it would be Dante, and it's actually kind of not even close.
Don't worry, Peepaw, it's okay. The new gen is still talking about that fight till the heat death of the universe. I still hate the argument. Well, no.
It would be Dante. Like,
I think
Dante is... It would be... He's just as... It'd be a fight.
It would be
Dante
entertaining, is what it is. That's the answer to true peace. It would be entertaining.
The thing that, because Dante is just as unkillable as Alucard is, and Dante can do more shit. Dante can stop time. Like, it would be a cool fight, though. Don't get it twisted. I would watch it. I would watch that death battle. But anyway, I remembered when we talked about doing this show, and you said we should just call this episode the author's barely disguised fetish. And then I, rewatching this, messaged you and I said verbatim, hey, is the author's fetish disguised if it's hidden under a clear plastic sheet?
Yeah, I think the author's fetish is just A, the title, and B, that's what all writers should do with their writing, is be honest with themselves and be open. That being said, God should strike Kota Hirano down where he stands right now. I truly...
he should.
I truly... like, I'm happy for you, buddy. I don't need to see your Nazi femboys. I truly don't care.
I also don't need to hear about how... what's her name? One of the other Iscariots. The lady with the guns. Who is with the lady with the katana. I don't need to hear about how she's a...
You don't have to say
a very an F word that is very offensive. I don't need to hear about that.
The Catholic Church, they have it, you know.
I don't need to hear about that, Hirano. It's not surprising how horny Helsing is. Hirano was originally a hentai artist.
I mean, Helsing was in a fucking hentai magazine, was it not?
The prototype of it was, yeah.
He was really out there saying, guys, what if instead of looking at the porn, it was with a plot? What if my porn had a plot, and then he stood up like, wait, that's a really good idea.
What if my porn had a plot, and what if I had some pathos? Like, a little bit. Just a touch of pathos.
Just a little bit. Just a smidge of it here.
And, like, look. I will give... On the one hand, I'm going to smack him with the horny hammer. On the other hand, I'm not so weak of a person, like, not so strong, like, that I can't say with my whole chest, Integra Helsing is so goddamn hot. And I am weak. I am a weak man.
Many of you would put on your resume as Ashtray.
I would!
For shame.
I would, and I would thank her for it. I'm also not above, listen, Alucard is also really hot. Especially when he, like, goes back to his original form and he's got the mustache. Like, fucking daddy card.
Scratches his beard.
Like, come on.
Scratches his beard, twirls his mustache. What?
I do actually like that scene where Saris is like, oh, Master, you've grown a mustache. Mustache? She makes that little, like, cat face. One of the only like, Hirano made attempts at humor, and most of them were not funny. That was excellent.
Oh, he is painfully unfunny. His jokes suck. And I think that's what makes them, like, go back to being kind of funny. It's like, wow, this is a really dumb... I think it...
The two scenes where, like, the ghosts of the guns started talking to him, like, what the fuck is happening?
What is that? I think it's a monkey wearing lederhosen. Is that important? No, it's just a stupid joke for the anime to waste time. That's what these all feel like, is just a dumb fucking bit to stall for...
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it is a bit to the manga, too, so I can't really call that. I think it's just helpful. It helps the guys who are at all three studios be like, hey, we have some bullshit we can put.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, it is kind of a time capsule of the very specific kind of humor that was done in manga at the time. Like, that, the dude there, like, his deformed style, and it's like, God, this is so aughts.
Trigun did it. Fucking,
I want... Full Metal Alchemist.
Black Lagoon. Every...
Full Metal Alchemist, at least FMA, was funny.
Yeah, because Arakawa is a good writer, and not a mega gooner. A respectable gooner.
Look, Arakawa is a gooner.
Well, no, I can't even say that. She is just respectable, because she knows what she likes.
She is
big, muscly guys, but it's It is story necessary, and once it's there, goddamn.
She likes muscly men, and she also likes sad men. She loves drawing really, really sad men. Have you ever seen that four comma of, like, Arakawa drawing FMA, and her, like, watching the original 2003 anime, and her seeing a scene from the 2003 anime of Mustang with, like, stubble as she was drawing Mustang with stubble? And just going, what? Huh? How? But how?
It's your character, dog. What do you mean, how? You made the sandwich.
But she didn't draw with stubble up until that point. They did it first.
Oh, fuck. All right. Damn.
Yeah, so as she was drawing the scene of Mustang with the stubble, she was watching the anime.
That's
Mustang with stubble.
See, Arakawa's like, that makes me happy. Kotaro's like, oh, that's neat. And I just, like, walk a little bit away from him.
The scenes that come to mind immediately to me when we talk about how horny Helsing is the most obvious one is Alucard killing Van Winkle, obviously. Like, I remember that one distinctly because he's even said, like, it, like, I quote, that he was really trying to bring back his hentai roots when he drew that scene, and that he, when he drew Van Winkle, he drew all the things he likes in women. He drew Van Winkle, and he said, I like tall women, I like women with glasses, and I like women with freckles. I'm going to make a character that has all those things, and I'm going to draw them getting killed in a really horny way. And I'm like, you know what? I can almost respect that.
I don't. He is Icarus, and I am the fucking rays of the sun. You are falling upon your wax wings, you disgusting freakazoid. I don't know. I just like making fun of Hirano for his open fetishes, even though everyone is entitled to having what they want. It's just Hirano's in particular and the way he goes about it. That's really it.
I remembered that one. The one I didn't remember, and I had to, like, when it happened, I had to pause and walk away from the computer for 5 minutes, was that scene where Saris is sitting in the dining room by herself eating soup, and Integra walks into the room and goes, what are you doing? Why are you trying to eat food like a human? You're a vampire. You need blood. And she pulls off her glove with her teeth.
What the fuck? See what I mean?
He cuts off, and she cuts her finger and says, oh no, I've gone and cut my finger. I don't want it to get infected. Would you kiss it for me? And Saris is like, I don't think that's an order, Saris Victoria. And I was like, I'm done. I had to walk away.
Dog, look at my employee. Look at my employer, dog. Look at my coworkers, dog.
I had to walk. Like, listen, that is also my kink, but I was like it's so brazen that I had to walk away, you know? Like, I'm not, listen, I'm a horny person, and I'm into a lot of the things he is into, but he is just so brazen in that he is putting this in a non-pornographic work.
I thought this was about vampires and fighting Dracula and Nazis. What does this have to do? I don't.
Why did you make a Nazi femboy? Don't worry about it.
Do you see what I mean? I am the rays of the sun destroying his gooner wings.
Hey, Hirano, why do you know so much about, like, Nazi military weapons?
Also, that too, like, why do you know so much about only the Catholic Church, England, and Nazi Germany?
To be fair, his horniness for guns isn't just the Nazi guns, it's all guns. He is very horny for guns.
Oh no, my favorite scenes in, like, the anime are just whenever they describe I love when we get to see the fucking jackal. It's like, oh, gets the little explanation in the blurb, and Crispin Freeman fucking just explains it, and it's butter to my fucking ears, man.
Macedonian silver tipped exploding cartridges, weighing exactly 30 kilos.
Oh, wait, no, I mixed in the scene. No, the part where Alucard talks about the fucking the Blackbird.
Yeah, the black bird. Or when frickin' I just had his name, the leader of the wild geese.
Pip.
Yuri Lowenthal.
Pip.
Pip, yeah. When he's talking about like that scene where Saris is standing on the roof with the big ass fuck off guns shooting.
It's a cannon. Don't call it a gun, it's a cannon. It's a cannon. We know the quote. It's a cannon.
They're anti-tank guns.
They're anti-tank rifles, but those are fucking cannons.
What if I had a character not only shoot an anti-tank gun at Nazis, but also use the anti-tank rifle like a club?
What if she had two of them?
What if he had two of them?
Like, it goes back to like, okay, Cotorado, you know, I moved back a little bit closer. I like the stupid, just, you know.
I do want to watch this woman, like, punch Nazis into a bloody paste. Why is there a random panty shot suddenly? Like, it wobbles.
It wobbles, but...
back
it,
and forth.
It wobbles, but it wobbles, it like, again. Fucking slash... the horror movies are like this, too. Horror movies love doing shit. Like, grindhouse shit is all about, like, just the low bars. Death and sex happen on a dime.
And just like a lot of the schlock horror movies, we have 2-3 rape scenes. Just like a lot of those schlock horror films.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I walked back away. Walking again. Finally leaving away from Kotorano. Like, hey, man.
Leaving Kotorano. Especially when you get to that part with Saris's
flashback. Leaving as the fucking thunderbolt smites him and the rays of the sun melt him to a crisp.
Mm-hmm. You know what was a weird thing for me was seeing the, because like I hadn't seen this since it originally came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like many, many years after, and seeing the major speech, but not be a parody, it was like, because I've seen it parodied so many times.
You've seen Mario say it, you've heard the Storage Wars. Now this is the actual speech, and it's still fucking crazy.
It is. I love war.
He just, like...
I love blitzkriegs. I love cannons. I love massacres.
he just likes war. That's it. There is no greater meaning to it.
In fact, the thing about the Major is that, like, he doesn't even care about any of the Nazi shit. Like, he just wants to have a war.
He just found them,
like, all... He just found the guys who were willing to help him make the war. Like, he doesn't care about any of the Nazi, like, the goals. Because, like, all the guys who actually are Nazis are like, what the fuck is wrong with
you? Again, notice, it's the three big parties here are the Nazis, the Catholic Church, and, like, Helsing, to extent, the British government. In his eyes, he could be working for any of these three groups. Nazis just happen to have the most shit going on undercover.
Yeah. And then the other thing this series likes to do is, like, just have, like, there are so many scenes where I'm like, why are you letting him talk? Just shoot him. He's been going on and on for, like, 5 minutes.
No, Kotorano has to make a point. They have to make a point. The audience has to know why war is bad.
They have to know why war is bad. They also have to know that, like, Alucard is like, no! You were just like me. This is how I became a monster. You know. And how much Alucard hates himself. And that's why he kills other vampires. Because he hates himself. And he only ever wants to be killed by a human. Not a vampire. Or another monster. Which. If Helsing weren't so dumb. That'd be like. I'd take that pathos more seriously. You know, but it is so dumb.
It is so dumb, and it's like, it's hard to believe that when Alucard just... I mean, he doesn't... A thing of note is that he doesn't actively go out to shoot random fucking people. He goes for vampires, because he's King Shit Dracula. It's in the name.
Or people who try and kill him.
Well, yeah, that too. He's like, he's always up for a challenge, but it's like, you know, he likes when humans... That's him. He wants a human to kill him because, you know, humans are supposed to kill monsters, and he is kingship of the monsters.
Yeah. Pretty much.
No, it's
he thinks
it's,
of humans.
Yeah.
Go on. Go on.
I'll say it's simple, it's effective, and I agree, yeah. Last act of the story, having this be like his motive is kind of whatever, but it is consistent. It makes sense. If he was used as a tool for like assassination, okay, it's a little different. But no, he is an anti-vampire maneuver because he sees himself and other vampires and sees them as worse. It's pathos. Remember, fucking Vlad Tepes, or Tepes, however you want to say it, Count Dracula, the dude, was Christian.
Yeah,
he did all of this in the name of God, and historically. And then Dracula got it made, and it's just taking that and being like, hey, how would this guy feel? How would this guy feel about if everything he did was for fucking naught, and he got turned into the devil?
I fought for God, and everyone I know died. And it's like, what was it all even for? Really?
I did all the horrible things I did. He was the impaler for a fucking reason.
What's that distinct smell? The scent of people being impaled. Like, holy shit, Alucard. It's like, that is one thing I do like about Helsing, is that, like, as we talk about the Nazis and the Catholics, like, yeah, they're evil. But it's also, like, they're just more evil than Alucard is. Alucard is also not a good guy. He is also evil. He's an anti-hero, at best. You know? Like, the closest thing the story has to, like, an actual protagonist that, like, has morals or Ceres and Integra, but that's the point, really, is, like, they are supposed to be the most human.
Because, well, yeah, Integra is straight up human, and Ceres is a Draculina, Dampier, whatever, I forget what they say in the show, but it's, like,
Dampier.
Sired by Dracula, but you still have your humanity, you're a vampire, a true vampire, Marnie, it's not a Nazi biological fucking synthetic vampire. I forgot the difference was, but there was a meaningful one in the story. I remember, like, that it was her being specifically chosen by Alucard.
Yeah. And her having her throughout the series not wanting to drink blood and become a full-fledged vampire until, like, you know, she had to. Which is, like, her, you know, as much as I want to joke about the pathos not being that good, like, that's, you know,
the pathos is good. It's more just like, can you, like, is it good enough to outweigh the everything else?
And it isn't. Like, the pathos is fine, but it is dumb as shit.
Because, like, I love those moments a lot, and I remember, like, oh yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Scott Romano is capable of writing this stuff, but he also is just a fucking mega gooner.
Yeah. Like, I honestly think one of the most, in terms of, like, pathos and, like, narrative stuff that he actually did was with Anderson and Alucard, and so, something that, like, Hirano made a distinction was, is that when Alucard told Anderson, what you're about to do will make you a monster. It doesn't matter if you're a monster for hell or heaven.
You will not be human.
You will not be human anymore. It doesn't matter what. Why?
Your reason for your actions, your reason for, like, your sacrifices, your losses, yes, they're painful, but they're human, and it's like, you lost them. You can live and die as a human being. It's like, no, I want to kill you and only kill you, so I will be a tool, an instrument for God. And that's it. The fight's over, because Alucard's not fighting anybody. He's not, no one's rising up. It is just God throwing another fucking brick at him, and it's like, fine, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, that line with Anderson being like, I wish that instead of being born a man, I had been born a storm. What a frightful fire to purge, like, everything in the name of God. You know, like, that's good. That's good shit. I'm not even gonna front. That's good shit right there. Like, as much as I shit on the Catholic Church, they have some metal-ass shit going on aesthetically, and, you know, the Old Testament is metal as fuck.
All right, we're gonna make a task force of super evil, of super fucking hardcore killers. Let's name him after the guy that killed Jesus. Got Jesus killed.
Mm-hmm. Iscariot, yeah.
Why did they do this? Why did they do this? What do they mean when they call their fucking radical fucking murder force the Iscariots? Who knows?
Yeah. Named after Judas. Judas Iscariot. Like, why? I don't know what the deal is with that. Is it like
the band?
Are the Catholics just not that into Jesus? Is that what the deal is? I legitimately actually don't know.
I mean, are they really into Jesus in that show? Ask yourself the real question. Do they follow his teachings?
I know the Protestants love Jesus, but I don't know about the Catholics. Like, someone who is around all the fucking, the Southern Protestants, like, I definitely know how much the Protestants love Jesus. In fact, they say his name more than God most of the time. Which, you know, some people might take issue with that. Maybe the Catholics. I don't fucking know. There might be some wars about that. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Who knows? The Crusades.
No. We don't call it those anymore. What do the American dogs call it? Peacekeeping. Duh.
You know what? I did appreciate that line.
I guess you just like go a little bit to bridge and be like that. That's just it's the same show but condensed. Also a nightmare to release, if I'm being really fucking honest.
Oh yeah,
that was more like a smaller group, more just dubbing over things, and also just like trying to also keep the story too, because Team Four Star
more or less
they're great. With Dragon Ball, they did a lot of work to get to adapt all the way to Cell Saga. With Hellsing, it's a much shorter thing. But also, like, it's kind of hard to make it funny when it's really just redoing the story their way while also kind of condensing the plot a little bit better. It's still fucking long as shit, though.
I am still thinking about turning Van Winkle into a social justice warrior and fucking Alucard being like, you know, I was a woman back in the 70s.
It's
the 40s. The 40s. Maybe you should check your privilege. And that, we talked about the Ku Klux Klan joke, and like, those are the jokes I think about when I think about that abridged. I need to watch it again. I planned on rewatching it, but I ended up not, but I probably will, now that I've rewatched all of Ultimate, actually. I remember liking it, because I recently rewatched Dragon Ball Z Abridged, and, you know, those first, like, 5 episodes or so are a little rough, but I think Dragon Ball Z Abridged is overall still really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wish them the best on whatever they pursue in the future. Like, I think I have like, a Lifelight D&D thing now, and they got, like, some other stuff going on. You know. I want them to do another parody, but you can't force them to do anything like that. God, Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged is still going on, for God's sake. You know?
Heat Death of the Universe, I swear. Heat Death of the Universe. It's gonna be that's when it'll fucking end.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be Yu-Gi-Oh! To Abridged.
There will be always be Yu-Gi-Oh! Isn't he still on the filler stuff?
It is the second wave of filler after the Orichalcus, which is fucking the Kaiba Land tournament with Siegfried.
Siegfried? Oh, yeah.
He's German, and he has Valkyries, and he's like Kaiba, but like, gay.
I thought you were gonna say evil, but I was, and then I'm like, Kaiba is evil. Let's not.
Yes, but Siegfried is pink.
Yeah.
He's pink and German.
I'm constantly thinking about that scene from the dub. I was like, what, you think that I want to attack because it'll ruin somebody's life? I'm a CEO of a major multinational corporation. I ruin people's lives every day.
You know, it's like, destroy this innocent person's soul is the actual thing. Like, no,
yes.
I can do that every day.
I'm also always thinking about from Dark Side of Dimensions, where he crushes the water bottle, he throws it, and he goes, and fire whoever designed that water bottle. A Kyber product should never break that easily. Oh, God, what was... Was there one other thing? Oh, right. You know what's wild in Ultimate? It's probably mentioned in the manga, but we never mention the fact that Schrodinger and what's his name, the captain, the mute, they're werewolves, and we never, it's never mentioned.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, there are werewolves that are like also go, there are werewolves in the same way that Tsukiyomi has vampires of, yeah, it's like, you know, vampires, but they just do shit that is just not anywhere else but in this, like being ghosts and summoning other,
having a quantum existence.
Fuck, man.
What if I made a little Nazi femboy who had a quantum existence? Yeah?
I don't want that to be the episode name. I'd rather just be fucking...
Nazi femboy.
That'll get us... that will get us, like, delisted. That will get us
it will.
Delisted.
It
will. We'll get delisted so bad.
I'm probably gonna call it, fucking... The author's fetish under a clear plastic sheet or something like
just
that.
Just the author's fetish, or I don't know.
The author's fetish. The author's hidden. Like, something on the variation.
Who knows? Whatever strikes you, something better. It is a fucking unfortunately true title. That is what the character is. It's just really fucking unfortunate.
It really is. And, listen, on some level, I have to respect it. On another level, bonk. Bonk you with the horny hammer.
Bonk with the hammer of some I don't know, some media presence is better than no presence.
Like, because here's the thing, right? Like, you can do like yes, I'm doing this because it, like, I like it because it's horny and I think that character's hot, blah blah blah, and also have legitimately great pathos and story and whatever. Because I mean, look at Yoko Taro. You know?
Yeah, no, I feel like Hirano is a little worse in that regard.
He's way hornier.
Way hornier in that regard. I don't want to even say less insightful. I think he's just as insightful as Yoko Taro. It's just that he's way hornier. And that's what kind of muddies, like, A, conversations. Because, again, those cool pathos moments that we have with Alucard, with all the characters towards the end of the manga, are really neat. It has some cool prospects. What does it mean to fucking... How do you justify crusades? How do the guys justify them? How would they feel knowing what they, like, what history would call them, which is monsters, murderers, and such? That's cool and interesting. Why do we have to do a bunch of just rape panels and Nazi femboy shit and porn?
Also, why did we have basically a music video of Nazis burning down London?
Like,
there's several music video scenes actually that I'm thinking
why
about.
Why are we fucking MTV that? Why did we get James Wan on that shit? Like,
yeah, it all comes back.
Saw was relevant, you guys. It was.
I mean, it was relevant because it was Halloween, you know, like, whatever.
Saw is always relevant. Jigsaw's plan. Anywho, yeah.
Is Jigsaw in the room with us? Yeah,
but yeah, no. Hell.
Wait, you know what's a better comparison? Araki.
Is it?
Araki is very horny. Like, come on, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but Araki draws guys.
And
I don't know. That's my argument. Araki draws lots of dude ass, so I can, like,
respect it. Just like the golden Kamuy guy.
It's. Noda's fucking. Noda's moving different. Noda draws, like, dude ass and balls.
I can never get over the fact that after he took that hiatus, and everybody was like, "We're supporting you, sir," and he said, "Due to the fact that I have been gone for so long, I have made this one character's tits 30% larger." As an apology. Oh, man. Anyway, sorry, what were you going
to
say?
I think artists are allowed to be as horny as they want for their own things, if, like, because it's their own shit. It's just a matter of, like, that will affect shit later on when you try to actually write.
Yeah, there's a balance to how horny you can be and how, like, legitimately, like, serious you can take the actual writing, you know?
Also, and I think with it having three different studios, it honestly kind of affects the narrative. It kind of helps to extenuate that problem, because first studio, which was, I believe, Sally, I looked into it, the first three episodes, and those were kind of, like, whatever, schlocky, nothing grand besides, oh, we're gonna fight Nazis, cool gore, and some horny bits. Middle stuff by Madhouse looks really cool and awesome, but it's kind of just all the ultra gory fights, and then to the extent on the opposite spectrum is, you know, the other extreme stuff. Because that's where we get the backstory, we get Sarah's backstory, we get the Van Winkle fight, and it's like kind of just all extremes, no middle ground. And then by the time we get to the end with those last two episodes, that's where it's like, hey, here is the big finale in London, in the city, and here's where I actually am doing the philosophy parts, or where it's like kind of coming into fruition. Because it was kind of sprinkled around, but now we're at the end, and now we're getting character moments, and now it just feels like, on one hand...
Too little, too late.
Well, no, it's like, on one hand, oh, this is really cool and neat, but also, fuck, man. Eh?
Yeah.
Like, it works. No, it's well-delivered. It works. But at the same... I want to say it works, but at the same time, it's also like, eh?
I think it's a little, too late, honestly, for my... Like, it's fine. Like, it's good, and it worked. It's just, like...
It's something to be examined. It's something to be examined a lot.
It's backloaded, you know? It should have been sprinkled out through, like, the pacing of its delivery could have been done better, of the actual serious story, you know? But...
That's how the manga was, too. Like, the manga was just like that, and they were just doing that. But I feel like if they were... And again, I can't fault it, because it's three different directors. They have to, like... How are they going to communicate that? Well, two, I think. Well, eh... You said
it's two or
you
three.
Said one of them, like, movie. You said, I think, Kuroda, was it, like, he worked on the first and second part, or the second and third
First part, there was, like, basically every time there was an animation studio change, there was a different director.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, the first animation studio had a different director, and then Madhouse was a different director, and then the Graphicon, there was another director. Like, three different directors.
I guess that's the issue, is, like, it just took forever to make, and while it was coming out, obviously, people were enjoying it. As a whole, you can kind of see the part where it's like, it wants to get through all the schlock first, and then the end is, here is the really cool things. Not to say that it's like, it wasn't worth the ride. It was, but also like...
Yeah, like, if you don't take Helsing too seriously, Helsing is a lot of fun.
If you want to analyze it and be like, hey, how does it stand up to the other saying, like big seinen manga that are like about shit, it's like... You really only have that last part, because everything else is just kind of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm serious.
And some of it's really close to being, like, something, but then it...
It's all at the end. It's all at the end.
Yeah, it's all backloaded. It's like, I feel like we could have paced this better, but... Again, if you want a schlocky, gory anime with... Maybe a little bit of story and some decent pathos and writing, then hey, Helsing's for you. And I still like Helsing, but it's not Shakespeare. You know? It is schlock, and that's fine sometimes. Sometimes you just want to watch schlock.
I'd say it's better than most schlock. It is the creme de la creme of schlock.
Like, listen. This bag of potato chips... This is a really good bag of potato chips, but they're still potato chips.
This is Zaps. This is Ridgies.
This is popcorn. It's really good popcorn, but it's popcorn. No, it's got no substance. It's all junk food. But damn, is it good popcorn? You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, sometimes you just want to watch something that is fun and dumb, and you don't have to think about it too much. Like, not everything has to be fucking... have deep philosophical... Not everything has to be Perfect Blue.
No, it is not. you can't even put these as soon as you sentence, because I'll get mad if you do.
Not everybody can be Satoshi Kon.
No, truly.
Not everybody can be Kurosawa, you know? Like... There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's entertaining, I think the worst thing any piece of media can be is boring and mediocre. Like, mediocre and boring is so much worse than just bad.
Oh, no, Hellsing is not boring or mediocre. It's just a lot.
It's just a lot, and it's dumb. It's schlock, and again, it's just a really good, like, bucket of popcorn. That bucket of popcorn isn't an actual meal. It isn't going to fill you up. It's not substantial, but man, when you were eating that popcorn, it was really good.
Ninja Catholic suicide bombers. Today is just a treat.
I need to rewatch Hellsing Bridge.
That's what it is. They make quips like that, like, where it's like, yeah, even the character's like, yeah, everything's fucked, but man, what a miraculous way things have turned out to be.
Truly, truly, truly. I think that's it.
Yeah, pretty much. Hellsing is always like, Hellsing's always on my mind. It's just the thing where I'm like, yeah, it's Hellsing. You watch it maybe once, rewatch it during the, like, whenever you feel like it, but the vibe is there. The vibe is what carries a lot of it. And, yeah. You know, if you want some deeper storytelling, it comes towards the end. But like you said, you go into it, you're ready for a time, you come out of it going, man, that sure was a Hellsing, an ultimate Hellsing experience.
It's kind of a shame we already did Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, because that would have been the perfect pairing.
Oh man, that
with Ultimate.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing. Oh, eh.
Yeah, Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust is good.
No, it is very good, but it's its own kind of like.
It's a different kind of good. It's of the time.
Of the time, but also fucking. That's a mono, dude. Come on. That's a mono character design. It's like, Kurt Rano stuff looks cool as shit. I like how he draws a little ring. Like, everyone has, like, fucking lemur eyes where they have rings and shit. But, that's a mono. Yeah. That's fucking a mono and with then, vampires. Come on.
I mean, a better comparison to Hellsing is like, fucking Gona Guy, really.
I'd say fucking Yasuhiro Nitro. I'd say also Trigun too. Trigun can be excessive too, weirdly enough.
Trigun can be excessive. It's not as horny, that's for sure. It can be, but not as horny as fucking this is. Gona Guy is so fucking horny. It vacillates. Some is way hornier than this. Like Devilman. Devilman is so fucking horny.
Yeah, but I feel like we gotta start defending Devilman. I have opinions on Devilman.
I like Devilman, but it is horny.
It is. No, it is. It's also just like.
Just like a Shin Getarobo is also like not horny, but it's like schlocky gory.
Fucking murdering whatever it is.
What was that one thing? Violence Jack.
Now that you can have that. You can do whatever you want with that. I'm not gonna try and fight that.
Yeah. Or like pick one of those like gory horror OVAs or movies from back in the day, like Ninja Scroll.
Your Wicked Cities, your MD Geists.
Yeah, Ninja Scroll is like the one I always think of, but yeah, Demon City Shinjuku.
Is Wicked City something else? Oh fuck, is that the fucking? No, that's the other one. There's just two. There's just two called that.
Yeah, there's just two. Yeah, Crying Freeman. Or the original Guyver. OVA Out of Control.
Any guy for anything is just like
some of the more so like the like okay. The Guyver live action movie is absolutely god awful, but the suits are so good. Like the practical effects are so good.
I'm partial to what was it? The other live action one afterwards, Dark Hero, because it has David Hayter.
Dark Hero has,
it has
like,
David Hayter.
Oh, it has some really good suits in it too. Like the suits for the Zoonoids and the Guyver, like the practical effects are like amazing in those movies. It's a shame they're bad. Anyway, that's the show. We hope you all have a spooky Halloween this year.
And happy Thanksgiving too.
And yes, happy Thanksgiving too. Next time, We're probably going to do the thing we actually originally planned before we did Halloween. We're probably going to talk about the Gendy Star Wars, right?
Yeah, Gendy Clone Wars, Gendy Wars, Star Wars, Gendy Clone Wars, because taking out the...
Whatever you want to call it.
Taking out the is very important.
It is very important. Yeah, that's probably the next thing we're going to talk about, which will be... Part of it will be talking about Gendy Clone Wars. The other part of it will just us be talking about Star Wars.
Oh, man. It's going to be a 4-hour long podcast. I love talking, but jeez.
Yeah, yeah. We will see you all next time. And again, have a spooky October. Don't be a jackass. Bye.
Bye-bye.